I want to talk about effect handlers, in particular in the fusion language and how they are used in there for error handling and how design by contract is done in the fusion language. Bit background to myself and how you can reach me. Putting it short, I worked on compilers all of my life with a long term working on Java implementations for safety critical applications. And now since 5 years, I'm working on the Fusion language, and now within Tokyo Software, a small company, where I lead a small team of 4 developers working on Fusion. The overview of my talk is I will start with a very quick overview of the Fusion language, then give you an example of error handling that will then lead me to explaining what design by contract is. Then I will explain you what effect handlers are and how they can be used to implement design by contract, and then how a hierarchy of errors, fallables, could be made. And if there's time, I'll talk a bit about a cool feature in that context, which is type constraints. So the quick intro to Fusion. I brought some stickers. Maybe if somebody's interested, you can pass them around and take as many as you like. The idea behind Fusion is to have a simple language to basically base everything on one concept, the concept of a fusion feature. And the idea behind that is that our systems are becoming more and more safety critical, and we want to make it easy to develop correct code for those systems. And making it easy by having tools that help the developer's life to analyze the correctness of the application. So the Fusion language is statically typed. It is polymorphic in several ways. It has union types, it has parametric types, generics, and it has object-oriented style inheritance. And it's a pure functional language where everything that is non-functional, non-pure, is wrapped into effects. I'll start off with an example. My very small example here is a function that takes an x and returns a string that shows x and the square of x. And the x is any numeric parameter. Fusion uses a lot of syntax sugar, so actually this is a short form for a function that actually has 2 arguments. There's a type parameter n that is numeric, and a value argument x that is a value of that type. So basically this is a generic function here, but I'll stick with the short version. And I can now run this giving different arguments of different types. Here's an integer, a fraction, or a complex. And I will go to the Fusion website where I have this talk and where you see the example. So I can run this example now, and it will then calculate the squares and print those 3 strings. If I extend the example and call the square function with a byte, an 8-bit integer, and provide the value 30, the result will not fit into the byte. What will happen is I will get an awful error in the middle of the code. So the question is now, how can we do this error handling better? One approach is we could just add a test in our square implementation if the multiplication would overflow and perform the calculation only if it doesn't, and otherwise we panic. And if we run this, so we check this and we panic. Panic is an effect, so we have to mark this in the signature of the function that this function requires the panic effect to be executed. And when we run this, we get the default implementation of the panic effect, which then produces this overflow for 30 output. The problem is, it fails here. The problem is, who is actually to blame for that? Where is the bug? Is it in the square function that panics, or is it the caller who just provides arguments that cannot work with that function? And this is where design by contract comes into play. Design by contract, the idea is that we formally specify for every function what preconditions has to hold, has to be satisfied by the caller to call that function and specify then what guarantees that function can give after it has executed the post conditions. So a function provides a formal contract for via the pre and post conditions, and this is useful for several things. It can be used for runtime checks, like with the panic we had right now, but it can also be the basis of static analysis tools to verify correctness or to generate tests and lots of other nice things. So doing the same function with pre and post conditions, we can now put the at the precondition that there must not be an overflow when multiplying x by itself. And we could add post conditions like the result is never the empty string. And the implementation of the function becomes very simple now. And when we run this, we get a precondition fault, which clearly indicates at fault is the caller here that provides a type that doesn't fit with the desired calculation. Now, Fusion uses effect handlers. You've seen that in the panic example where panic effect was used. So let me quickly introduce to you what effect handlers are. An effect handler is a set of operations, and these operations may have side effects like reading or writing data to a file. These operations may produce a result, like when you read from a file, you might want to get the data that was read. Or an operation might also abort, which is what typically a call to panic would do. And to use the operations of an effect handler, the effect must first be instated for the context where these operations are supposed to be used. Effect handlers for error handling, this is now a part of the standard library of Fusion where a handler fallable is defined, which inherits from effect, so it's an effect handler, and this is the template for errors to be defined in the Fusion language. And this has a feature try that would instate an instance of that effect and run some code. And within that code, that effect can, or that code can cause this error. That is the cause here. Here's an example. This can be used to create your own error, myfallable in this case. And we can then use this. We can call try. And in within the code that is executed here, we can then cause that error. And we have a way to catch this error. Looks very similar like exception handling in other languages. So, yeah, I've explained that. Now, going back to the panic version of the square example, using these effect handlers, we can now instate our own instance of a panic handler and run the code from square. And in case that panics, can catch that error, print a message, and we call square again with a larger, unlimited integer type to run that again. And if you run this, we see that we got that error, and we're trying again, and then we get a proper result. Now, question is, what happens for pre and post conditions? I only have the precondition here to make the example a bit simpler. And Fusion, as I said, uses a lot of syntax sugar. Actually, preconditions are just syntax sugar for a precondition fault error, very similar to the panic example. And that means that we can also instate our own version of the pre-fault and run code with that and catch this. So basically, this condition, if that fails, would cause then the same behavior as the previous example. So this causes a precondition fault, which then ends up here, and we can run this again, and it runs successfully. Yeah. Now, we have We have a number of fallables in our basic library. I've showed you panic, pre-fault, but there's post-fault, there's checks, and there could be user-defined and many more. For proper error handling, what we would like to have is some kind of hierarchy. If you're used to Java, you have this throwable hierarchy where you can catch throwable or error at the different areas. So the question is, how do we do that in Fusion? And the solution is we have a cascade of fallables. So we have a most general fault, which is the most basic error, and then panic, the default implementation of the panic fallable, actually is implemented using the fault. So it doesn't inherit from that, but the implementation just propagates the error further to a fault. And the precondition and postcondition faults you have seen, they don't directly propagate to fault, but they propagate to some intermediate fallable, which is a contract fault, that then propagates to that fault. So the user can now decide what level of faults it would like to handle when it wants to catch those. There's also check faults. There could be I/O faults or networking faults and so on. Do we have 2 minutes?
Yeah, you've got 4 minutes.
I have 4 minutes. OK, then I'll quickly talk about type constraints, because they are a cool feature in this context. If I go back to the square function and I call it now with a huge floating point argument, and I expect this to fail because this overflows, but it doesn't fail, I still get the infinity. And the reason is because floating point semantics is just that this doesn't overflow on multiplication, just produces the infinity. If I want to catch this error, what I can do is I can actually put a constraint on the type parameter. I can say, if my type parameter is a float, I want to have a stricter precondition here. And if I do this now, I can also, in this specific case, get an error for that. So we can really work with these type parameters pretty much like compile time values, doing all sorts of special things there. So that's it. I come to the end. The status of Fusion, it's still under development of the whole project. The language definition is getting more and more stable. We have backends for Java VM, Java bytecode, and C code. And we have foreign function interfaces more or less working for Java and for C. We're working a lot on the basic libraries and static analysis tools. And we have first applications that are being developed. And since last month, we are part of a European project in the ITF framework called Green Code, with lots of partners all across Europe. We are trying to improve that language. That's it. You can find more information at these handles. Please follow us, give us stars. Yeah.
Questions?
Can you repeat?
Yeah. Let's say that you have a function that can produce multiple types of effects, like a new fault or network fault. How do you deal with those cases?
Should I repeat it? Or?
So let's say that you have a function that can produce multiple types of effects, like, I/O fault, network fault, some of those you showed. How do you deal with those cases?
Okay. So that would mean that the function in that signature would have to list all of those effects as effects that are required by this function. And now when this function is used, the caller can then decide what it wants to do. It can run this code with specific handlers for part of the effects that it wants to handle and leave the rest to the default handler, which is a fault. Or it could just be more general and handle the more generic fault in any cases and catch all the errors that could happen in there.
So we can select. You can have like multiple catches, right?
Yeah, they can be nested. So whatever matches would then be used. Yeah. And you don't need to cover all of them. You can have, say, you just use the default for whatever you don't handle. But if you use the default, that means that your code yourself actually causes that effect. It propagates, and the call-off of that has to handle that.
So you showed some examples with preconditions. Assuming you have enough information at compile time with precise types like singleton types or refinement types, can you avoid having to install handler? Like, can you statically check these things?
What kind of things do you want to have checked statically? There's
so if you know statically that the input of square is like 10, you know it's never going to overflow. So in that case, do you still need to install a handler, or can you statically know that you don't need it and then optimize it away?
What we do right now already is we specialize the code for the specific types. Like for the float, there's only the specific version for float that is put in, and if it's called with an integer, the specific handling for float is completely optimized out. What we don't do yet is propagating constant values that are passed in there. But it is a pretty straightforward compiler optimization, so specializing a call for a constant argument that is passed. So we don't do it yet at the moment, but that eventually will has to be done, and it's not very difficult. Time for one more question? Or
if you use this one.
This one? Okay.
Switch that one to Andy.
Yeah, go ahead. The try function is a function in our standard library for the fallable effect, and it does quite a bit of things. It actually creates an instance of that effect, instates it, and then calls the code that is passed to that function. Yeah. Okay, I think I'll have to leave.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give this to you. Thank you.